That worship, we've been praying for y'all. we've been praying for this for a long time, Lois. You don't even know. You don't even know, man. It was some Sundays I get up there and lead them by myself at the old building. I'd be all right, y'all. Victory is mine. Y'all remember that, Brother Carl? But we still here. We still here. We waited on it. Anybody know how you got to wait on the Lord? Just got to wait on it. Tell your neighbor, wait on it. Yes. Hallelujah. So Hebrews 11:17, amen. Just check the announcement, saints, amen. I believe as far as one of the most important ones, we'll be doing prayer again this Thursday, amen. Come on, give God some glory. We'll be eating together, kind of breaking bread. It was a good time, amen. Some fellowship and some good food last time. And so we'll do that again this Thursday, amen. And like I said, hallelujah, we allowing our businesses to kind of do the first few of them, amen. So this Thursday, amen, the meal is going to be provided by T-Bow Law Firm, amen. Hallelujah, glory to God. So if you're in an accident, auto accident, amen, come holler at your boy. Come and holler at your boy, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, get your hustle on, Pastor. That's right. That's right. All right, so this Thursday we're eating. What, Pretty, you got anything else? That's it? All right. Well, let's get in that word, man. Let's look at it. We'll be in Hebrews 11:17. Feel like I'm forgetting about something, but I just, if you remember, just let me know. Hebrews 11:17, amen. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. But we're just going to do 17, 18, and 19 tonight. Amen. So, Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. And we're still on Abraham tonight. Amen. And we've been talking about Abraham a little bit. We spoke about his faith and how he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, even though it was his land. We talked about, amen, Abraham dying in faith, amen, not having received the full manifestation of the promises, but died believing God, that what God had for him would be for him and the seed after him. And we just challenge all of you, amen, that when it's our time, that we would go as well like Abraham, that we would die in faith. Faith that his promises to us would transfer, succeed to our seed. Amen. Faith, amen, in the cross. And faith in a better tomorrow. Faith in eternity. Amen. Because here we have believers, amen, scared to die. Believers, you know, not wanting to go and to be with the Lord, when to be with the Lord is the better place. Amen. Don't get too comfortable down here. Get your hustle on, prepare a legacy and inheritance for your children's children. But remember, this place was never designed to be our home. There's a heaven that's coming, and there's a Savior that's coming to get us. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. We kind of skipped a little section of the scripture, if you remember what we talked about, Sarah and her faith. We'll be saving that for the women's conference, amen, and I'm excited about that. Amen. Who excited about the women's conference? Amen. And hallelujah. So First Lady has retained me to be one of the speakers by a very high price, I might add. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so you say, was that pretty?
Next Sunday is our last day selling
shirts. Okay, so next Sunday is our last day selling shirts. What shirts again we selling? Okay, women's conference. Amen. And so, yeah. So it's the last day for shirts. Amen. And so... So we're going to be bringing the word for the women's conference. So y'all might want to sign up for that. It's going to be a blessing. We got people signing up from Virginia already. Amen. They coming in from out of town and stuff. And so God is faithful. You don't want to miss that. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we go. We're just going to talk about Abraham. So look at verse 17 with me, and it says, by faith, remember this is the Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. And so we just want to stop right there. That word tried, amen, is parazo in the Greek. And it means to test. It means to prove. And it means to test and to prove in a good way, in a good manner. All right? Because there's two ways to test something. All right? And a lot of times in the King James, the word will be the same, amen, but it's two different meanings. Amen. A lot of times they'll say tempt. Amen. And when we're referring to God, we want to say test because God don't tempt us to do evil. He don't solicit us to do evil. He tests us to prove our character. All right? He tests us to show us and to show everybody around us what we have in us. Amen. And a lot of commentators say that God wants to know what's in us, but I got news for you. God already knows what's in us. Amen. He already know how we're going to do. But a lot of times, amen, he do it to show us what we're going to do. And a lot of times, amen, we need to know what we would do in a test. Because sometimes we think too highly of ourselves. And so we want to get on everybody else when they make their mistake. But if we were put in the same situation, we wouldn't do too well. And so God say, amen, how you, when you correct your brother, amen, you got to do it with meekness, lest thyself be tested or tempted. Amen. Second thing is that sometimes we don't think too highly of ourselves. We think too lowly of ourselves. And we out here, hallelujah, not believing that we got something in us that can change the world. And so God will put us through a test. He'll put us through a trial. Amen. And after he squeezed Gethsemane out of us, after he squeezed oil out of us, we come out of the trial saying, I had all of that in me. And God said, that's what I've been telling you. You can preach, you can teach, you can worship, you can go through things. And so the trial, the test, amen, God tried Abraham. It was to show something. It was to show something. So that's why we don't run, we don't cry when it happens. We trust when it happens. Because the test works together for our good. Come on, give y'all some glory. I'm trying to tell you, Job came out clean. Jay Gray, you see? So the Bible says that God, he tried Abraham. You see, when the devil tries us, it's not for good. He tempts us to solicit evil. The Bible says in James 1 and around 13, amen, in the first chapter, he says that God don't tempt nobody like that. He said we usually tempt it away of our own lust. God don't solicit us to evil. He tests us to prove our good. And a lot of times when God testing us, it's not only to show us, but it's to show the people around us. Amen. He's trying to put us on display. That my vessel, amen, is going to walk through this valley. Walk through this tough situation and won't let go of my unchangeable hand. Amen. Yes, they're going through trials and tribulations. Huh? But they know where their help come from. They help come from the Lord. Come from Yah. And that's why he tests us. The Bible says when Abraham was tried, I have in my notes that all of God's children will be tested. All of us. Every single one of us, we will be tested. All right? And hallelujah, some tests going to be harder than others. And there's a time in your life where you're going to come to what's called a life test. And a life test is when you go through something, amen, that's a hallmark. It's one of the most difficult things that you could walk through. When you go through a life test, amen, sometimes you don't even think you're going to make it. You say, God, I know you never, you never give me more than I can handle. You never tempt me above I can bear, but it don't feel like I'm going to make it through this one, God. But good thing God know more about us than us, amen. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. Just watch me as I flow. Abraham had embarked upon a life trial, a life test, where it wasn't just testing what he knew, it was testing who he was. And the trial that we refer to here, amen, is spoken of later in this verse by faith when he was tried. Watch this. He offered up Isaac. That's the test. That's the test. I want you to pay close attention to that word offered. Offered is in the past tense. Like the very act happened. But when you read your Bible, you know it didn't happen. But in the heart of Abraham, in the heart of Isaac, I'm going to show you that the deed was already done, even though it didn't happen. Anybody hear me up in here? And a lot of times when God puts you through something, he just wants you to fix your heart. The direction he wants you to go. He might not even bring you all the way there, but when you fix your heart to sweet surrender, God will say, all right, you might not even have done it, but I'm going to treat you like you've done it, like you've accomplished it. The Bible says he offered Isaac. And the offering wasn't even made. Is that too deep for some of y'all? You see? He offered Isaac. That's the test that we want to talk about tonight. Amen. And we're going to take our Bibles and turn to Genesis 22. Just take it there. Genesis 22. And I'm going to put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible. We're just going to look at this test for a little while. Amen. And glean from it what the Lord, the Most High, have for us. Amen. All right. When you get there, say amen. All right. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Watch this. He said, take not thy son. Now, God is going to speak in a way to amplify what he's about to ask Abraham to do. All right. How many people know that the test not going to be easy? Oh, God have mercy. He could have just said, take Isaac, but watch what he said. Watch how he said it. And in the Hebrew, amen, hallelujah, version of this text, Isaac is at the end. All right? He says, take thy son. All right? Now, Abraham got two sons. Up until this point, he said, well, you know, it could be Isaac or it could be Ishmael. All right? All right? He said this, take thy son. Then he goes, thy only son. The only son here means the only son of the promise. The only son you're supposed to have. The only son that's going to carry your name and your legacy. The only son that the promise of Messiah going to come through. The Savior going to come through. The only one that the promise of your seed being like the stars of heaven, the sand on the seashore. Take that son of the promise. Take thy son of the promise. Watch this. Whom thou lovest. Oh my God. See, a lot of times the test that God going to give us is a test that has something to do with something or someone we love. Are you with me here so far? And a lot of times it's somebody or something that's in competition with our love for God and that thing or that person. He acts us like he acts Peter in the Gospel of John. He said, Peter, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? This is what our test is usually about, the final test, the final exam. It's about loving something more than or too close to the way we love God. And that was Abraham's love for Isaac. You know how long he waited for Isaac? You know how many prayers he said for Isaac? You know how he probably fasted for Isaac? Everything was about Isaac. And God said, oh no, I'm about to see if you love me more than the son that I gave you. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. So the question is, do you have anything in your life tonight that competes with your love for God? Huh? And a lot of the times you'll know it because it consumes your thoughts more than God consumes your thoughts. It consumes your time more than God consumes your time. It consumes your money more than God consumes your money. You'll give to that thing or that person before you even come bring the tithe to the storehouse of the Most High God. Now y'all done got quiet up in here. Y'all either quiet because y'all sleeping, or y'all quiet because of conviction. He say, lovest thou me more than these? He said, take Isaac. Go ahead and take him. You know? And I could hear Abraham saying, I don't have another son of the promise. He said, take him though. Take him where, God? Watch this. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Pastor, what that mean? You know what Moriah is? Moriah is the place of the cross. It's the place of sacrifice. The place when you give up something, when you let something die for the glory of God. Moriah is the place where the temple mount would be built. Moriah is the place where we're going to find out on Sunday where David said, I cannot offer something to the Lord that don't cost me anything. It was the threshing floor. It was the place where the wheat was separated from the chaff. Anybody hear me up in here? This was the place where it got real. This is Calvary. You see? He said, take him to Moriah. He says, hallelujah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. You see, because God knew the exact mountain where the Son of God would be crucified. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody know the place of the skull? Anybody know Golgotha? Amen. And we're going to see Abraham ascend to that very spot, some say, and put Isaac on that altar. Let's keep on going. Amen. He says in verse 3, y'all still up? And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Now, I love this, Brian, because we're going to see Abraham's obedience right here. We're going to see how he, amen, is about to do something he don't want to do, but he's going to do it like he always wanted to do it. He's going to offer this offering that he don't want to offer in a manner like he's done every single other offering that he has done. When God told him to bring Isaac, guess what he did? He didn't wake up late. He rose up when? Early. You see? He saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. He didn't leave Isaac there, get over there and tell God, oh, I forgot Isaac. You know the game people play. He didn't want to come, Lord. He stayed up late last night. He come back and he clave the wood. He cut wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had what? Had told him. Verse 4. The Bible says here, then on the what? Third day. Boy, the third day is a blessing for the church, huh? The third day is when it all happens. It all go down on the third day. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar off. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? And worship. You see, what you don't know is that Abraham was going up there to worship. The essence of worship is to show God how much he is worth to you. And when you bring something that you love and you put it on the altar, when you bring someone, amen, that you love, and you say, God, amen, listen, I'll sacrifice this person and get them out of my life if it means keeping you in my life. God, see, that's worship. You see, this typifies the woman with the alabaster box. You see? In that box, it had all her living. In that box was something precious. That's worship. See, a lot of the times, amen, our worship is cheap. And the more expensive our worship is to us, the more it means to God. Anybody hear me up in here? And so, Pastor, what you mean? Well, anything that costs you something, you give it to God. Remember, look, we're going to see it Sunday. David said, I will not offer anything to God that don't cost me nothing. So y'all, when we up in here singing, if you just singing like this and it's not costing you nothing, if you not open your mouth and it's not getting, you ain't spending no energy, then it don't mean nothing to God. Anybody hear me up in here? And I can go on and on, because the first stage is I'm at least singing. So it's costing me something. It's costing me some energy that I acquired when I ate lunch. Amen. It's costing me something. But not only singing, but you could take up that offering and show him that he's more worthy. Amen. Don't only sing, but clap your hand. Oh, God, now you're feeling good. God is more energy. Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. God loves that. Not only that, amen, you won't take it up a step farther. Not only clap your hand, go ahead and lift one of them up. Oh, God, it's costing me something. Because not only am I expending energy, but I'm getting attention. Oh, God, it's costing me my cool points. It's costing me my popularity. It's costing me my fame. But I don't care. I'll be a window washer because you're worthy. It don't matter. My name means nothing, God. You see what I'm saying? Worship is showing God he's worthy. Oh, God, when you're really feeling it, then you're going to lift both hands and you're just going to adore him. Sometime when you're feeling it, you begin to dance. Anybody ever dance for the Lord? Oh, yeah. I'm talking about showing him he worthy. We showed you last Sunday how much he thought about David. You know why? David was leaping. David was shouting. David was dancing so much, he got his wife mad at him. Anybody hear me up in here? But he said, God, don't worry about it, because you're worthy of it. Anybody hearing me up in here? You see, the more you give God that expensive worship, the more it means to him. See, that's why, amen, when we ask you to serve in ministries, that's worship. Because you're giving your time. You're giving your talents. That's why when we ask you to join the worship team or the dance ministry or work in the sound booth or work in the ministry, you're giving something to God. You see, because our time is valuable, saints. You know why our time is valuable? Because we only given a limited amount of it. And when you come here with that limited amount of time and you say, I'm going to come here and spend 2 hours and sit down right here or stand up right here and watch over the people of God. God said that's worship to me because it costs you something. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this. I want to teach you how to worship. How to give him something that's worthy of his name. You see? It's not just that. When we come to that offering box, yes, yes, you show God how much he worth to you. Hallelujah. You see, when you come, like you used to come in your religion and you just give a dollar, 50 cents, oh, nah, baby. That's when you wasn't saved. Okay. Now he done saved you and he's still worth a tip. Nah, he ain't worth a tip after he saved me. He worth a tithe after he saved me. So I'm coming in there. I'm going to show him how much he worth. You hear me? And it's all about, amen, how much it hurts you to God. It's not about an amount. That's why the tithe is a percentage. Because an amount is all different to us. $5 to me might be a lot, but to you, Mark, it might not be nothing. It's a drop in the bucket. You see? So you can't put an amount on it. It's about a percentage. And they couldn't understand why Jesus looked at the woman with the widow's mite. And she put that widow mite up in that basket. Amen. And God, Jesus said, he said, she done gave more than them all. And them all couldn't understand. But she just gave 2/16 of a penny. That ain't nothing. You can't buy a penny candy with that. But Jesus said, don't look at the amount. Look at the percentage. They cast in out their plenty. She gave it all. Ooh! You see how expensive it is? So as we talk about Abraham going up that mountain, he was bringing something that was his most valuable possession. He was bringing it all. He was bringing Isaac. There was nothing to Abraham besides Isaac, amen, hallelujah, and maybe Sarah, amen, that was as important to him. You see? I just have in my notes, I might as well say it now. I bet he didn't tell Sarah about that trip. I bet he didn't tell Sarah. Oh yeah, y'all better get your Bible in the correct frame of mind. That ain't no Gentile he was talking to. That was a system. You gonna take Isaac where? What mountain? What neighborhood that mountain in? Moriah? I never heard of no Moriah. And what you gonna do? Offer? Offer what? Offer Isaac? Well, I carried that baby 9 months while I was dying. And you wanna offer Isaac? Oh no, Abraham, it's gonna be an offering, but it ain't gonna be Isaac. You touch the bar and you touch him and see Abraham. Just want to make sure y'all up, all right? Touch him and see. Touch him and see. You see? But he say, I and the lad will go yonder and what? And worship. You see? You got to give God something that's costly to you. Something that hurts you. You see? That's when it moves God. When you give God something that don't move you, it's not going to move God. All right? Are you hearing me up here? He says, amen. Another awesome thing here in this verse. He says, me and the lad, we will go yonder and worship. Watch this, Brian. He say, and come again to you. Now, that was strange right there. That was strange right there. Abraham, I thought you was going to offer Isaac. Why are you saying that after the offering, you and Isaac are going to come back? You see? This is where faith comes in. This is where Abraham's faith comes in. You see, Abraham believed God. Ooh, I dare say how can I say this? Almost unlike any other patriarch in the Bible. This is why he's given so many verses in the Halls of Faith chapter. Abraham saw two competing promises of God, two competing statements. And instead of casting down one and believing the other, Abraham saying, nah, every word of God is true and correct. Whoo, I ain't gonna pick and choose Piccadilly promise to believe. Nah, he told me that my seed, in Isaac shall my seed be called. And from that seed shall come, amen, a generation that's as many as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. King shall come out of his loins. From Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. He said, Abraham said, I believe that. Then he heard God say, take Isaac and take him up and offer him. And I believe that too. And those two things seem contradictory. It's only contradictory when you don't know the power of God. Anybody hear me up in here? Watch this, Malvo. Abraham believed the resurrection before the cross. He knew he was going to have to offer Isaac, but he also knew that Isaac would be the seed where all the future generation, children of Israel, will come out of. And he said, God want me to offer him, so I'm going to offer him. And he's still going to bring forth all these generations. Yes. I see C. My reason still wants to believe God. After I offer him, he's going to raise him from the dead. Then he's going to bring forth the promise. I said, wow. He believed in the resurrection thousands of years before it even happened. You see? He didn't have to see it. Like Thomas, he didn't have to feel it. Huh? That's the kind of faith he had. And if you had to tell Abraham Jesus rose from the grave, it'd be nothing to Abraham. With God, all things is possible. He is the resurrection and the life. You see? So he told him, he said, listen, he said, we're going to go up and worship. And me and the lad, hallelujah, we're going to come again to you. Look now at verse 6. Watch this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. That wood represents the cross. It represents the sacrifice for sin. It represents the burden of our sin debt that would be placed upon the Son of God. Abraham lays it upon his son as Father Yahweh lays it upon his only begotten son, Yahshua HaMashiach. As Isaac carries the wood, amen, and the weight of it, look what Abraham, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife. The knife and the fire represents the judgment of God. The wrath of God. It represents the punishment that will be poured out for sin. Here we have such a clear picture of Calvary, the place where he did it all just for me. We just were singing about that. Isaac, hallelujah, is a symbol of Jesus, and Abraham is a symbol of the Father. Amen. With the wrath and the judgment of God. Come on, give y'all some glory for Calvary. Amen. And they went, both of them, together. See, a lot of us, when we study the cross, we only look at it from Jesus' standpoint. We don't ever look at it from the Father's standpoint. And let me tell you something right now. It might have been harder for the Father to do what he did at Calvary than it was for the Son to do what he did. I don't know if there's any parents in the house, but you would rather suffer than see your child suffer if you have any love for your child. And so we only look at Calvary from the heart of Jesus, but we don't look at it from the heart of Yahweh, who had to turn his back on his only begotten son, who he had been with, shared eternity with, never been separated from. I think I'm talking too much atonement and soteriology in this place. Listen, man, this is a picture of not only the suffering son, but the agonizing father who would give up his prized possession. Not Isaac, but who the commentators and theologians would come to call the darling of heaven. The most important piece in a holy heaven, the Father was willing to give up for a sinful, dirty earth. You know, the beauty of Calvary. Come on, give him some glory, amen. I don't know why he did it. I don't know why he did it. Look what he says here. Hallelujah. And Isaac spake unto Abraham. And boy, if I was his dad, I'd say, son, don't say nothing. I didn't want to hear it right now. We got to go do something, and you talking ain't going to make it any easier. But look what he say. He said, my father, oh, God, that might have cut like a knife just like that. Huh? And I could hear Jesus in Gethsemane, Father, whoo, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Huh? Abba. Abba, you see, Isaac said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac is a very astute person. We see Isaac as a child in this text, but Isaac ain't no child. That's a full grown man. Oh, yeah. We think Isaac is like Omar age. Isaac is 30. He at least 30. Anybody 30? Any? Who around 30 around here? Let me put on my glass so I can see who 30 up in there. Brian, how old are you? You 31, that right, where is that? Sabrina, you 30? Perfect example. All right, so here we go. So Isaac is not no baby, no. Ain't no baby boy. That's a full grown man. So this is what Isaac, watch this, Chance. This is what Isaac asked him. Isaac said, I see the fire. And I see the wood. And I'm gonna just add a little bit, but just you can take it out, but just add a little bit for entertainment purposes. I see the fire, I see the wood, and I see that big Crocodile Dundee knife that you're bringing up the mountain. Big Rambo knife. You remember that, huh, John? The nine survival knife. I see the wood, I see the fire, I see the knife. But look what Isaac asks his daddy. He said, Daddy, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? And that would be a question that would resound through time. Where is the lamb? Because we all sinners, heavy. We all deserve death. And we need a sacrifice. But nobody was worthy. And so from generation to generation, the question of Isaac would just keep being repeated. Where is the lamb? And not until the New Testament, a man named John the Baptist, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, thousands of years from when Isaac asked the question, where is the lamb? John the Baptist saw him coming down the street and answered Isaac's question. 1,000 years later, say, Isaac, you want to know where's the lamb? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. I'm telling you. Woo! I don't know about you. I'm so glad that that question was answered. How many people needed a lamb up in here? He said, there's the lamb. He said, there's the lamb. He said, there's the lamb. Where's the lamb, my father, for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, oh, God will provide. My God. Kim, Abraham went into prophetic right there. You know, sometimes you're talking and you want to say one thing, but something else come out your mouth. You see, sometimes when that happens, we just look over that. You better pay attention to those things that come out your mouth that you don't mean to come out your mouth. Because sometimes that the Spirit of God, the Ruach, coming out your mouth. Abraham just opened his mouth. Bible say, open my mouth and you'll feel it. Abraham opened his mouth. And before he knew it, he was in the prophetic. Where is the lamb? Abraham said, God. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. The Bible says in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, Moriah, Calvary, the Temple Mount. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Look at the excellence of Abraham. Look at the excellence. And he did what? He bound Isaac. When he said he laid that wood in order, I could just see the cross, huh? I could just see the cross. And he bound Isaac. I could just see the nails affixing our Lord to that cross. And remember, watch this. Isaac is 30. Now, Abraham at this time, hey, God, specifically speaking, he could be 137. Might even be 140 around this time. Now, if I'm 30 and you 140, if I don't want to be here, you can't hold me here. I push you down. I run away and you no catch me. You understand what I'm saying? You 140. What you gonna do? But right here we see in Isaac, sweet surrender. We see sweet surrender. You see, faith is infectious. Since Abraham believed God, his son believed God. That's why you gotta watch your faith. Because however you trust and believe in God is the way your children gonna trust and believe in God. If you all worried about all kind of stuff and all stressed out, amen, don't be surprised if your children don't press through that generational bondage that they gonna act the same way. Look at your neighbor and say, your children watching. Yeah, keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together. Like Deacon said, you better tighten up. Because your children watching. Your children wild. You can't be shaken. No, man. You see, you can't be shaken over no bill, over a house, over a car. I'm going to ruin my testimony to my seed over four wheels and a gas tank? Oh, no, baby. Oh, let them come get it. Oh, babe, we're going to leave the key. Come get it. Oh, it's going to be a testimony. Because I'm going to show you my faith to believe God. And we're going to go back, get it when he provide. Hey, God. And if we don't go get that one, we're going to get a better one. We're going to get something with leather interior. Hey, God, you ain't going to see me crack. No, you're going to see me be crowned because of this faith. I ain't worried about a thing. And Isaac watches daddy walk it out. He not only trusted God, he trusted his daddy. He let his daddy lay him on that altar coat. He let him to bind him. He let him. He believed. He said, if God told daddy to do it, it must be God and it must be right. He laid there. It reminds me of the Son of God. He said, no man taking my life from me. He said, I lay it down willingly. It was the Father's will, but he ain't fight the Father's will. He said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. That's how Isaac, he laid it down. He let them affix him to that cross. He let them bind him. He said, don't you know we can call legions of angels right now and set it off up in here? Something in me would have liked to see that. But we wouldn't have got our salvation if it would have happened. Maybe we'd make a movie, huh? What if Jesus would have said it all? People running on fire. Ah! He is the Son of God. Jesus coming through that too late? Nah. But that's me, J. Gray. You know what I'm saying? You know he controlled time. He pulling weapons out in the 2000s out there. Look. All right, let's get back. I just want to make sure y'all up. You see? He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Right here, Abraham is all in, Kelly. There's no stopping him now, babe. In his heart, he's already decided that the deed is done. He has virtually already sacrificed Isaac on that altar. His hand, amen. Some theologians say he on the way down. He on the way down. And he ain't like Peter. He ain't going to miss. He coming straight down. You see? That's why in our text in Hebrews, it say he offered Isaac. Because in the heart of God, it was done, man. You see? It was done. Hallelujah. Here we go. What verse we on? Verse 10. See, he stretched forth his hand. You see? As we look at verse 11, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Right here, God said, you done showed me enough. I knew you had it in you, but you done showed me and everybody else that I'm your number one. And that you trust me. And that you know my power. You see? And right here, if you could look at it, from a limited human perspective. God watch a man be willing to give his only begotten son for God. And then thousands of years later, God would give up his only begotten son for man. Come on, give y'all some glory. You hear me? I don't know if you know, but Abraham did something mighty powerful on Mount Moriah. And that God would pick the same place to give up his son. And he only let Abraham, hallelujah, come close to doing it. But at the cross, Yahweh fulfilled the deed. He brought it all away. He brought it all away to Teleo. It is finished. And Yahshua giving up the ghost. You see? This is a perfect picture of Calvary's Hill. Come on, give him some glory. I love this. I love this. Come on, we're going to bring it home. Let me see what time. All right, let's bring it home. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him, that's important, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham lifted up his eyes. And where was the ram? Behind him. Now, this is interesting. You see, if something is behind me, that means I passed it up on the way in. You hear me, John? He bringing Isaac up, amen, and he walked right by the ram caught in the thicket. You see? Pastor, what you talking about? Well, Abraham had told him the Lord going to provide a ram. He going to provide a lamb. He going to provide a sacrifice. You see? From this text is where we get, hallelujah, the title of God, Yahweh Jireh. Y'all would say Jehovah Jireh. I like to say Yahweh now. Yahweh Jireh. Means the Lord God, our provider. He going to always provide. He going to always provide. And what this taught me, amen, hallelujah, Brother Carl, Big Brother Keith, Annalise, First Lady, Little O, G, Deacon Hill. What this taught me is that when you're in a bind and you need provision and you all worried and you're stressed out, you don't know how you're going to make it, you're crying, you're shaking, you're going to the doctor, you're just prescribing something. No, you ain't got to worry. The provision is already there. The provision is already there. It's already there. Tell your neighbor, the provision is already there. You passed it up on your way here. Oh, God, the ram was behind him. I'm telling you that whenever we have a problem, God has already providentially decided how he gonna provide for your problem. We just can't see it yet, but it's already right there. It was behind him. All he had to do was look back. I'm telling you, oh God, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, you gotta learn to look around. That's our problem. We don't look around. That's our problem. We don't look around. Me and my little babies, we've been playing a little game on the game. One of them little adventure games. You know what I'm saying? The quest where you got to walk through something. And we all got our little person. Little O got a person. I got a person. Grace got a person. She in the lead right now, but I started late. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Ma? But in the game, you got to pay attention to the game. Because the trial that you're about to get to, if you pay attention to the journey on the way to the trial, he's going to provide you with every single thing you need to equip you to get through the trial that you're about to go through. Listen, he passed up the ram. So if he's going to bring you in the mountains where it's cold, He gonna provide you a way to endure the cold. He Where was the ram? Behind him. The prophet told the woman, what you have in your hand? What you have in your house? You got to learn to look around. A lot of times we go without when he's made a way to provide for those things. Come on, give y'all some glory. Babe, what I'm going to say, babe? Spirit telling me to tell you to tell your neighbor one more time. Look around. And a lot of times you done passed it up. You done passed it up. The very thing that's going to fund everything you need, you done passed it up. You see, a lot of the times, amen, especially when you're hunting and stuff like that, Minister Duck could tell you, Phil, we be out in the woods, amen, like that, amen. And you looking for the deer, and the deer looking for you, looking at you. The deer just looking at you. But you can't see the deer. All right, you can't see it. Hallelujah. Brother Steve, you know what I'm talking about? You see, the way God made them is that they blend in with their natural environment and their habitat. And them deer know how to do that, man. The way they even walk, you can't hear them walk. You just turn around, they right by. Oh, Lord. One could be right under you. Walk up on you. Come on, Deacon, tell them now. Them ting quiet. Not them thing, them ting quiet. And you can't really see them too good. Even in rabbit hunting, you walk up, you won't see that thing till you jump one. It'll come out. You see, in my heart, that ram blended in with his natural habitat. And if you wasn't looking for it, you're not going to see it. Prophetically, I want to tell you, if you have a problem, begin to look for provision. What'd you say, Holy Spirit? Tell him what? All right. You already got it. You already have it. You already have what you need. I got a word for you. You worried about something. But God has already provided. He's already provided. You see me, I'm crazy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll even walk out without knowing that my feet going to touch solid surface. But I know that if he brought me to it, he going to bring me through it. So a lot of the times I can't even tell you how the end gonna look, but I know he leading me to it. I just walk there. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. I just go. You see? We're almost done. I had to just get, that was for somebody. Don't, I'm sorry. That was for somebody. Amen. Look at it here. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. You're going to have to look for it. And he looked. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, which is a great spiritual picture of Christ. The horns represent authority. And Abraham went and took the ram, all right, and offered him. Now, oh, God, how a 140-year-old man going to take a ram like that? The ram must have wanted to go, too. and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Jireh. It means that the Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. I don't know about you, amen, but that's the story of our lives. Not that we're going to do it, but the Lord going to see to it. Amen. The Lord going to do it. The Lord going to do it. Whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're praying for, amen. Tonight he got a word for you. The Lord will do it. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your word. We give you praise for Abraham. We thank you so much for his faith tonight to believe you no matter what the circumstances look like. Father, help us to open our eyes and see that you always have a ram in the bush, especially if you're leading us to or in a situation. I pray now, as the prophet prayed for his servants, open the eyes of your people. Show them that there be more for us than against us. Lift up their heads, God, and let them see the ram in the bush. Give them a new perspective, Daddy. Let them not just focus on the problem, God, but to begin to look for the hidden gems of provision that's along the path. God, show them that you always make a way, Daddy. Show them you always make a way. Now pray with me. You've heard about Isaac. You've heard about the Lamb of God. The gospel was interwoven in this whole message. Say with me tonight, say, God, our Father, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son. I admit I'm a sinner in need of a sacrifice. Thank you for giving us a lamb. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Thank you for Jesus, Yeshua. He died on that cross. He was buried in a grave. And on the third day he rose. Lord, save me and give me faith to know that you always gonna make a way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. He made a way. I'm telling you, that's the kind of God we serve. I'm telling you here, he made a way. Oh God, don't know how.
You made a way.
Oh Jesus, oh Jesus.
Ooh. Don't know how, but you did it.
My God.
You made a way.
Don't know.
Don't know how, but you did it.
I'm telling you.
You made a way.
You're going to see.
Don't know how, but you did it.
When you get that house, when you open that business,
don't know
you're going to see there's a ram in the bush. I'm telling you.
You made a way.
Don't